I'm Mark Roberts, and I'm the Education Partnership Lead for the Chartered Banker Institute. Welcome to episode one of our new podcast series, Skills Conversations. At the heart of the UK government's agenda is the growth and competitiveness of the UK, and financial services is a sector that's critical to these ambitions. Financial services plays a central role in supporting society and business, and also makes its own very significant economic contribution. To support the growth and competitiveness agenda, there is a renewed focus on skills, increasing the talent pool, and also workforce development. While this is a fast-moving landscape, this series aims to bring developments to our members' attention to help them navigate the changes which may have an impact on how they approach their own professional development, and maybe also those of the colleagues that they support. This series will, amongst other things, delve into the important role that apprenticeships play in building knowledge, skills, behaviours, and a pipeline of talent in financial services. We'll also touch on potential solutions to complement the evolution of the UK's apprenticeship system, and also touch on some of the challenges that lie ahead. Many people in the UK have a rather narrow view of apprenticeships, associating them more with trades than the financial services sector. This series will take a fresh look and consider how apprenticeships play a key role as a talent development route for new entrants, and also to help with reskilling existing workforce. We will aim to provide insights into the work of Skills England, professional bodies, employers, and associated training providers. The series also encourages active engagement, inviting listeners to contribute their ideas and perspectives to help better inform the policy discussion around apprenticeships and skills more generally. Today, as the UK celebrates National Apprenticeships Week, I'm joined by a real-life apprentice, Luke Lyons, who is a Level 7 finance apprentice at Lloyds Banking Group. Luke works as a process implementation manager in the finance function at Lloyds, and some listeners may also recall that Luke was a semi-finalist in the Institute's Young Banker of the Year competition a few years back. Amongst other things, I'll be talking to Luke about his apprenticeship experience and also his banking career to date. Welcome to the podcast, Luke, and thank you so much for making the time to talk to us today. Could you start by talking us through your career so far? We've spoken a little bit in advance, so I'd like to ask you the question, would you consider yourself an accidental banker?
Yeah, so thanks for having me, Mark. So career-wise, my anniversary of my career was on 31st of January, so not too far away, 2 weeks ago. And I've actually been working for Lloyds Banking Group in the banking sector now for 7 years. And, you know, the phrase accidental banker is a perfect way to describe how I've gotten into banking, okay? So in a sense, you've got to picture the scene for me, okay? I came out of university with a degree in history, and I moved from that degree and I started to look at different opportunities, different career paths to take. And I applied to work for Lloyds Banking Group in the customer service department in 2018, this would be. And I've got to say the truth, Mark. I didn't think that this would be, in a sense, a long-term role for me. I have had experience in customer service. I actually used to work as a dog walker, funnily enough, when I was at university. So, you know, an interesting time for me that was. But, you know, keeping on the accidental banker route, I kind of accidentally applied for this role. And I, you know, in a sense, I accidentally focused in on banking, funnily enough. And as I was looking for other roles, I kind of threw myself a little bit more into the job, right? Because, you know, at the end of the day, I am open to opportunities and different experiences. And I found myself gravitating more and more towards the banking industry. It was an interesting time, to say the least. The banking industry as a whole was going through a shift at the time. The likes of Monzo and Revolut really challenged how customers interact with the bank. And the fact is there that you didn't actually need to have a branch. And that was interesting because the models of banking industry was changing. And then you had on the other side of the spectrum, I suppose, other banks and companies that were looking to kind of expand their branch network. So it was really interesting to be kind of accidentally, funnily enough, stuck in the middle here of this whole seismic shift. And, you know, as this was all going on, and I found that really interesting. That whole shift, I found myself more and more enjoying, accidentally, my customer service role. I found that looking at the customer journey and understanding why customers were coming to us was really homing in on the research skills that I'd built from my history degree, and that excited me, and that really kind of intrigued me, because for the first time I found that the skills that I had built from my history degree were being transferred into this role in customer service. But I have an appetite for more, and after 2 years of working in customer service, I made the leap to jump into applying for a finance apprenticeship role. Now, these things aren't just given to you. You do have to go through the application of applying for it. But I gave it my best shot and applied for it. And ultimately, I ended up in that role, funnily enough. So that is the career path, and that began my career path, should I say, sorry, into finance. 2 years after my degree, I found myself now in an entirely unrelated to my degree field, in a positive career path, with, in accidentally, I suppose, is the right way to say it, just a home back to answer your question. So yeah, I would consider myself an accidental banker, and I'd say, to kind of finish the points there on the apprenticeship itself, 2020, I began this journey in the financial apprenticeship, and I worked in the business on kind of lesser known brands. And it really helped me understand the business further. The blend of both study and work let me learn from the ground up. And ultimately, 4, 5 years on from studying that apprenticeship, I'm in a really good position in my career. I've learned a significant amount. I'm in the last stages of actually finishing the apprenticeship to become a fully chartered accountant, with CIMA. And yeah, well, I'd say that becoming an accidental banker, it happens like that.
Thank you. Can I just focus in on something you said? I mean, considering your experience of apprenticeships over the years, how has the blend of study and work worked for you? Not to mention you've also got a life outside of study and work. How did you balance your time?
Yeah, so it's really interesting, the aspect of it. So for those that don't know, with an apprenticeship, you are 80% of your time working on the job and 20% of your time working on your studies towards that degree and qualification. But I suppose what a lot of people don't know that don't do apprenticeships is that you need to build towards different skills, knowledge, and behaviors. And that 20% doesn't necessarily mean that you'd be learning those skills, knowledge, and behaviors through study. You need to actually be showing that you are applying it in the job. And one of the best ways that you can possibly do this is actually through seeking out opportunities. So, to answer the question there, Mark, what I would say is the best thing that you can do is to seek out opportunities that really excite you, right? Areas that can really, that really, that you will want to make a difference in, that you can really make a change, make an impact, something that really excites you. And one of these opportunities was a couple of years ago when I actually applied to be Young Banker of the Year competition at the Chartered Banking Institute. So with this idea, I actually had this really big ambition, right, to create a pension product that invested locally in the local economy rather than traditional pension products that would take the money and invest it far and wide to reap those returns. Now, it is a product that would shake, in a sense, the banking industry, but the idea aside, right, going back to this whole blend of work and study, I was personally really excited by the idea that I would be contributing a small portion, that being the case, towards, in a sense, shifting the banking industry, going back to this kind of seismic change with the banking industry as a whole that it's going under at the current time when I was applying for the competition. And I found that in order for me to build this, and against, I guess, proposal, I had to go out of my comfort zone, right, and get the skills and knowledge and behaviors that are part of the apprenticeship in order to kind of be successful at producing the project. So what do I mean by that? Well, one of the first things that I did is, I'm no pension expert. I have to say, history doesn't transition well into the pension sector. So I reached out to my managers, really supportive and Lloyds Banking Group, who put me in touch, actually, funnily enough, with the directors in Scottish Widows Pensions, right? So suddenly, right, I find myself as an apprentice, which, traditionally, like, I'm not higher in the hierarchy. I'm now engaging with these senior leaders and stakeholders and directors who are actually making the time to, support me on this project, this ambition, this idea. And one of the skills and behaviors that I've learned there is, communication, right? There's a different element of communication that you need of senior stakeholders. Leadership, I'm taking ownership of a project here, that my own idea, my own ambition, and I'm really kind of trying to lead the charge and changing and shifting the pension products in a sense, being a small piece in the bigger puzzle to help people think more if this is possible, test the boundaries a little bit. And then I had to put the proposal together, and I was using the 20% of off the job hours to do this, working, as I say, with senior directors, pulling in research elements. And the Institute was really supportive in supporting this idea and this kind of pet project of mine. And I presented it to a wide array of judges. But the important thing is that it was more than an idea for me. It was something that helped me on the apprenticeship. Absolutely, no question. The knowledge and skills and behaviors that I learned from doing that project have really helped me on the off the job hours, and also propelled me with the kind of, I suppose, my confidence, right, to kind of go out into my own banking, into Lloyds Banking Group, and actually look at way different challenging ways that we could traditionally do things, and look at new ways that we could potentially do things, making more efficiencies. So yeah, the blend of work and study, right? Just going back to answering that direct question, I think as long as you can find something that you have a genuine interest in, it doesn't feel like you're blending work and study at all. It really feels like you're just kind of working on something that you're passionate about, and those things can blend really, really well. I'd just say that you have to have good time management skills to kind of manage it all, but it all threads together really well, just like the history degree did when I moved into finance. You find that the skills that you've built in the past from doing these projects and activities really, in a sense, bleed into your job role and help and support you.
Thank you, Luke. You make it sound very easy. Just to pick out, this is a concept that's very central to apprenticeships. It's the ability to blend kind of book learning or academic learning around a subject, but also take that and apply that in a practical environment. And this is a great example of being able to maximize that kind of process. Not only are you getting the opportunity to implement new ideas through the apprenticeship at work, you're also getting to take it further through the Young Banker competition. Sticking with apprenticeships, can I ask it may be a slightly difficult question, but what advice would you give to yourself? If you could go back in time to the start of the apprenticeship, what would you do differently? Is there anything you'd do differently, or would you do things the same?
Yeah, Mark, it's a very good question. So I do a little bit of mentoring in my role. I in a sense, the new apprentices come in and I try and guide them in the best way I can. And I don't, people have to make their own path, in a sense, towards how they want to develop themselves. But there is two pieces of advice I would say that I would give to kind of like a budding accidental banker or somebody that wants to do an apprenticeship, sorry, should I say there. So the first thing I'd say is seizing the opportunity. So much like when I entered the competition for the Institute, that was an opportunity. It wasn't something that I was forced to do. It wasn't something that I was pushed to do. It was something that I optionally chose to do. It was an opportunity for me. And throughout my whole career, including when I was in customer service as well as the apprenticeship, I've looked at things as an opportunity. If you look at the customer service roles that I did, I saw helping people as an opportunity. I saw that as an opportunity to understand the customer journey, to understand how I can better how we deliver our services to customers. And when it came down to finance, when it came down to actually looking at different elements of, for example, reconciliations, there would be an element there of this reconciliation. For example, this reconciliation that we've done, we've always done it this way for years, right? Download the file, look at the numbers, compare them, see if there's any differences, investigate. That's the way that we do this. But there's a good opportunity here to really challenge how we do those types, that those bits of work. There's new technologies out there, such as Power Automate, Power BI, that we can really capitalize on in using to kind of improve those processes. And being in the role that I am now as a process improvement manager, there is a lot of ability and a lot of opportunities to really kind of advance the finance departments. Much like when the banking industry went through a seismic shift at the beginning of 2020 with different business models, finance currently is going through a variety of changes, such as AI, which really is going to make an impact to the way that all industries, not just banking, do finance traditionally. Apps and software such as Power Automate and Power BI are really challenging how we in the finance function take data and present data for business decisions to be made. And with that comes the opportunity to really reimagine how we can deliver, interrogate, change that data, and how we deliver our kind of financial, in a sense, performance to the business managers and finance business partners that we have in the bank. So that would be the first bit of advice: seize the opportunity. The second bit of advice would be to not be afraid to ask for support. So when I began my finance apprenticeship, I had no experience in doing finance at all. I was rusty on my math skills. I wasn't too sure how the business operated differently from actually working in customer service. So don't be afraid to ask for support. Don't be afraid to kind of question how we do things and, I suppose, challenge things if necessary. You know, being a good apprentice means that you kind of bring a fresh perspective to any task, any piece of work. And with bringing a fresh perspective comes, you know, you have to be, in a sense, brave to kind of speak up and challenge. But don't be afraid to ask for support if you don't understand something, because you may find that the way that people have, you may find the typical thing that always happens when I ask, you know, why do we do this task? It's, oh, well, you know, we've always done it this way. And that is a beautiful phrase when you hear it, because it means that there's an opportunity, harking back to that first bit of advice, there's an opportunity there that you can try and make a change, a real big seismic change. You know, things need to be brought up to speed if the banking industry is to stay ahead, in a sense. And you can be a part of that seismic change if you just have the confidence to ask for support and speak up and ask questions and also seize opportunities when you see them. So they're the two bits of advice that I would give myself if I started this apprenticeship again.
Thank you. Can I just ask a very quick follow-on question? In terms of the apprenticeship itself, how did you find the support given to you by your training provider?
Absolutely. So for those that don't know, Lloyds Banking Group partner with a variety of different training providers, but the main one is Kaplan, and they're phenomenal at providing support and training. There's a lot of different ways that you can learn that supports different learners. You can learn online, you can go to the classroom sessions that they have in varieties of different cities across the countries. And there's also like a 24-hour support line that you can actually go to where they actually have tutors and lecturers where you can ask questions if you ever need support. And there's also a helpline, a variety of different avenues there. But Kaplan have been incredibly supportive throughout this apprenticeship journey, so much so that I actually made the decision that I would actually be helping to support and shape how they deliver their apprenticeship offerings by joining the Kaplan Apprenticeship Advisory Panel, it's called. So I joined their shadow board, funnily enough, probably back in 2021, I think it was, not too long after I started the apprenticeship itself. And again, going back to the advice, that was an opportunity for me. No one asked me to do that. I saw that as an opportunity to really kind of, you know, shape my own skills and shape the apprenticeship offerings as a whole. And in doing so, there's been a lot of different changes. Kaplan have been really responsive to kind of feedback and change. And they've been really supportive, like I say, in actually helping me study and, you know, giving me the time to understand different, you know, complex, I suppose, elements of the apprenticeship course that I've been undertaking. So yeah, incredibly supportive. Incredibly.
Thank you. And that's another great example of how you've been able to maximize your experience by perhaps looking at the apprenticeship experience in a slightly different way and being able to give something back. I'm going to move on to our final question. I think this is probably quite a difficult question to answer for any bankers currently at the stage of your career where there is so much change and evolution going on. But what do you think lies next for you in your career journey, maybe in the next 5, 10 years or so?
So that is a very interesting question in itself, right? So throughout this journey, I've learned that I have a real big appetite for learning and opportunities, it seems, everything that I try and get myself involved in. And I like to take a step back, right? Something that I never did before I started this apprenticeship. And I like to look at kind of the whole picture, right? And it's clear as day to me. And I'm sure others may agree that are listening to this, that the banking industry is going through another seismic shift. I think every industry itself actually is going through a seismic shift, not to speak too broadly. And again, I'm no expert in these things. This is just my opinion. But the avenue of AI is something that is kind of challenging how we do things. You had the Industrial Revolution where the machine that came out, the Ford, the industrial line, where the industrial line came out for Ford, and that changed how manufacturing businesses work, right? And now we have AI, which challenges more kind of the business processes. And for me, the appetite for learning, what comes next, I'd say that I would want to be learning more about AI, right? So with that being said, I think the certificate in digital and AI evolution in banking that the Institute provides is going to be one of the next things that I look to do after this apprenticeship. I think it's going to provide me, at least, with the skills and insight that I need to understand the seismic shift, this change that's happening in the banking industry as a whole. AI is going to challenge how we do things, and the only way to stay ahead is to understand both threats that it poses, but the opportunities that it can have. We need to embrace this technology and not be shy about it. But in order to embrace it, we need to understand it more. So I think next for me, Mark, would be to undertake that certificate and understand AI more. And in terms of the longer term, I'm not too sure. I'm open to new opportunities. I'm open to seeing kind of where the wind blows and adjusting my sails to take me in the right direction. But for now, in the short term, it would be to undertake that.
Thank you, Luke. I think it's a really interesting response, and I'm sure one that's shared by many colleagues listening to the podcast. The line between being a banker and being a technologist is becoming increasingly thin, and the margins are becoming increasingly blurred. As the Institute goes forward, and indeed as apprenticeship frameworks evolve, I think we can look forward to seeing greater merging of skills areas around data and data automation. But it's also really important not to forget important core banking skills, such as an understanding of risk, an understanding of credit, and something so close to your heart, Luke, the customer journey that lies at the heart of this. I'm going to draw the podcast to a close, and in closing, I'll just thank you again, Luke. It's been a real pleasure talking to you today. I hope you'll keep in touch with the Institute in the years to come. We certainly look forward to seeing where your career takes you next. Thank you.
Definitely, Mark. Thank you very much for having me.